each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon, loyal listeners. Yes, a change of pace here as producer Nick fills in for Father Anthony as he's on his way down. Joining me is Tony as before. How are you?
Hey, Nick.
This cracks him up every time.
It's good to see you get to jump in there and do
what needs
to be done.
Well, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do and just filling in. He and I are joining you on this Thursday. The two Tonys should be on in a little bit. I'm waiting to save for Tony.
There you go.
He's behind me, isn't he?
Not yet. But it's again when the dad's away, the kids will play.
I guess that's how it is, and I never thought of that. That's a good one there. But anyway, how are you doing today, my friend?
Pretty good.
Not much.
I was
really
about ready to go. Pretty good, Father.
That's all right. That's okay. But yeah, I mean, today is your kind of day with how it is.
Yeah, it's
like
nice
a little drizzly and cloudy outside, and I know it's supposed to get warmed up a little bit by the weekend too.
That should
least.
Be good.
Well, we'll see what happens because, you know, I've been trying to either go back and forth between, you know, wearing pants and also wearing shorts here and there because it's hard to make up. It's once again, spring and fall are at odds with each other. Or no, excuse me, summer and fall are at odds with each other. We're trying to make sure that, you know, who takes charge.
Yep.
But
it's always hard at this time, especially when summer's gone so quick and you don't know it's gone.
Yeah, it feels like it's gone by too fast or feels like autumn has come up really fast. I was driving to work here recently and I was thinking, it seems like October has come by too quick.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because I was working a lot or something, but
it's probably the way
doing okay. Like
that is.
I know my girlfriend is working. How are you today, honey? How are you, Amanda? She's working
hi
today, so
bye,
to say.
Hi.
Also, hello to Angelica. Gotta leave. Can't leave her out for you, man.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. That's how we do it.
But yeah, but no, it just feels like it's been pretty fast lately. I don't know what it is or why or whatever, but yeah, it just seems like the month of October has come up pretty quick.
It does come by quick.
Mm-hmm.
But you notice, and time does go faster. I don't know if I'm seeing it more now.
Maybe.
I don't know. People say that. And I even hear it from really young people, too. It's like, I thought it was maybe because you get older and time kind of goes faster.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I've noticed that, too, as well, that when you get older, things get not much more complex, but much more faster in terms of things. Because there are days where it feels like I don't have any time whatsoever. I don't have any time with, you know, doing stuff or taking care of things with what's going on. So, you know, I just try to do what I can. And there, that sounds better. I was like noticing, I sound weird. I don't know if it's my headset or not.
It's probably because of the mask.
Maybe, but, you know, I mean, I'm fully vaccinated. My parents just got their booster shots.
We're 6 feet.
Mm-hmm. But I'm still just wearing it because of everything that's going on and take it off to eat and stuff. But, yeah, my folks, they just got their booster shot, or my dad, my mom did, and so she's fully vaccinated, as well as my dad got his with his cancer being that way. And we all got our flu shots, too. So we made sure to pick up, you know, what we can and to do what we can, too. And let's see. Oh, is he? He's behind me, isn't he?
There he is.
It's Fox, okay, Father.
Caught you there.
Caught me in the
eye.
Caught you, guys.
Oh, that's okay. Good old Nick. He stepped in and said, "Father's not here. I'm gonna do my job. I'm gonna come in here. I'm gonna not let Tony have his mild heart attack."
No, you know what happened is they're working on the
stairs.
So I had to go around. And
I thought that when I saw it.
Yeah.
Because normally you're here.
How late am I?
I don't want to think too much about maybe 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I didn't realize that they're working on
It happens.
On the stairs. We're doing all kinds of work over here these days. So
I'll let it go this time.
Okay, thank you. So welcome.
Wait a minute. Father, wait. I'm the guy that's always late, not you.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's there's no truer words were spoken. I think exactly. We're always just coming in at the last minute.
Flying at last
exactly.
Minute.
So let's... today's the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, so we're going to talk about that. The story is really quite interesting. The Battle of Lepanto. But we'll begin with the... we'll pray a decade of the Rosary.
Good.
Okay. After the Angelus, let me just get everything situated here. Yeah, so sorry about that, but I didn't realize.
Yeah,
and then
happens.
I started to come down. I had to go all the way around. And
yeah.
Okay, so here we go. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ, our Lord. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee, and I thank thee. And I ask pardon of thee for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not love, and do not thank thee. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, I love thee and I thank thee, and I ask pardon of thee for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee and do not thank thee. I'm sorry. I get that. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
I do the same thing.
Did we do that three times?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
But because I always add, I thank you. That's not what wasn't. Yeah. I always add that. So.
I find myself doing that too.
Okay. So let's continue. We'll just pray one decade of the Rosary and we'll reflect on the resurrection, because it's everything, you know, incarnation, the Paschal mystery, it all comes to fruition in the resurrection. And in that, you know, we have our victory in the suffering, death, and resurrection. We can hear those words of Jesus. that you needn't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Be at peace. You're going to have trouble, but be courageous. Have courage. Be at peace because I've conquered the world. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those who are in most need of thy mercy. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But I want to just keep going on and pray the whole rosary. You know, it's such a beautiful prayer.
When you get involved, I lose all. Stumble against stumble the words.
Well, you know the it's strange. You know, like so the prayer that the angels taught the children. This is before the angel prepared the children, Lucia, Francesco, and Jacinta. The angel prepared the children for the apparitions of Our Lady and Fatima. And the angel taught them the prayer, "Oh my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, I love you." I added, "I thank you."
Right.
I think gratitude is so important.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know. Okay, so the angel told them to prostrate themselves. Mm-hmm. You're adoring God. So my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, I love you, and I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, do not love you, and of course I add, and do not thank you. And so when I pray the rosary, I always pray I pray the creed, and then the Our Father, the three Hail Marys, the glory be, and then before I go into the decades, I pray that the prayer that the angel taught to the children. So somehow we got a little bit confused there. I don't know. I'm going to put the blame on you.
It is my fault. I take full responsibility.
I think because you know the prayer without the thank you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's
But I got to admit, there was a moment. Well, I do when I come in for adoration. A lot of times, you hear what people say. Well, what do I need to do?
Right.
And I like to say the rosary or I start to pray. But for some odd reason, when I sat there, that came to my mind. My God, I believe, I adore.
Right, right.
And then I just sat there and just kept saying it over and over and over for the hour.
It's beautiful.
And it was, and that's the thing about adoration. And I love it just for that you can come in with, and a lot of times too, because I work late, so I come in late or early in the morning, but there's a calmness of, you know, when your mind is all everywhere, and then and then you start, whether if it's a Hail Mary or just "My God, I believe," or just "Speak, Lord, Your servant listens."
Right.
When you start doing it, you just get into that. It's like it's meditation. It just feels.
Yeah.
Right.
What was the? Absolutely. And yesterday was a feast of Saint Bruno, and I'm reading a book. I did not bring it down here. I wanted to. I did. It's called The Contemplative Hunger. Somebody sent this to me. So I got it yesterday, and I thought it was appropriate because on the feast of St. Bruno, who left Paris, I forgot what century it was. He left Paris. He went to school in the 11th century. Actually, 11th century. He left Paris. He was born in Cologne, and he was educated at Paris. And afterwards, he was ordained a priest and taught theology. But he just saw the distraction and the noise, and he wanted solitary life. He wanted to. He had this desire for solitary life, and so he actually went off into the mountains and started the father of the Carthusians, which are hermits. And I stayed in one of those cells. In fact, there was a great movie that came out, and I don't remember. And I'll tell you, this helped me get through the whole time I was in Rochester after I had surgery. This is 5 years ago, when I was diagnosed with cancer, and four-stage cancer. And so after that, I had to recuperate from the surgery. And I stayed in this little convent. The nuns were wonderful. They were just great. And I ended up being there 2 months. And what got me through, there were a number of things. There's certainly prayer, you know, in the prayer of others. because I didn't know, you know, it was, you had to recuperate from the surgery and then you've got to go on to begin the chemotherapy and all that. And it's all really, really rather traumatic. You know, you just find yourself in a whole different space and you don't know, you know, how long do you have to live, you know, so you have to put things in and really begin to look at things in a whole different perspective. And one of the things that really helped me was the movie. This is about the Carthusians, and it was called, I don't remember, it was called The Great Silence or Into the Silence, but there's no words in the movie.
Wow.
And it's you know, following the lives of the Carthusians. This was really, really popular in Europe. This was just done in the last maybe 15 years ago, or maybe, I lose track of time, and time is going so fast, but I think maybe about 15 years ago. And it became extremely popular in Europe, you know. And what they did is they spent, I think, an entire year filming through the different seasons and all that in the Carthusian the monastery. But it's made up of cells, so each, because they're hermits, so they have their own cells. I stayed in one of those in the year 2000 for a week or 2 weeks. I forget how long it was that I was there. It's just absolutely beautiful. But I realized that my call, I was already a priest, I was already a religious, but I was looking for the, kind of like St. Bruno, I wanted the solitary life, to be away from the noise and just give myself to God without holding anything back, you know. And I thought maybe God was going to bless me with such a life, but he didn't. You know, he wanted me in the active apostolate, and truly this is where I belong. And I know that, you know, it's obvious to me that this is where God is effective in and through me, in spite of my foibles and my idiosyncrasies and my weaknesses and all that. I think the more we get out of the way, the more God gets in the way, right? Yeah. And so that's that constant battle, trying to get out of the way so that God can be all things and all, you know. That's why I keep saying, you know, I make that part of my prayer too. I am nothing, I have nothing, can do nothing, and I embrace this precious nothingness that you become everything. But I get in the way far too often. And the beautiful thing is God doesn't wait for our perfection, right? He works in spite of us, and somehow his grace is made manifest in ways that we're not even aware of. And this is for all of us, you know, if we just give ourselves over to the Lord sincerely, not expecting anything in return. The only thing we want in return is that God live his life in us, right? Mm-hmm. All I want is, you know, that you live in me and through me, that you take possession of my life, because there's nothing more beautiful than, if you can give somebody the gift of faith, if you can bring somebody to desire God, desire the faith, love the church, then you've given them all that's needed, really. Mm-hmm. And it's a challenge today, because again, the church has its corruptions, but again, as this book, now this is a different book, it's called The Prodigal Church, that I'm reading as well. I was reading it when I was up in Rochester. But we can't, and I think we were talking about this the other day, mm-hmm. that we can't forget that, you know, there's the church militant. We're in the battle. We're here in the exile fighting a good fight. We hope we're fighting a good fight. And but the church triumphant, this is a part of the church, you know, the saints in heaven who are with us, you know. And so we have to, at a time like this, this time that we're living in, we need to really focus or keep our focus on God, certainly. Can't take your eyes away from the Lord, but be aware of the communion of saints, those who continue to intercede and to assist us on the way. You know, that's so when we think of the church and we get disappointed because we see this corruption, and the church is very much affected by the world it lives in. And if we're not astute, if we're not really seeking to be disposed and receptive to the inner working of God's Spirit, then we easily succumb to the ways of the world, because God's way is not an easy way. It's a very narrow path, and you're led through the desert and through the dark night, because that's where your faith grows deeper. But that's also where we, because we can't take that that desert experience, or we don't, or we're uncomfortable with the dark night, the seeming absence of God. But it's a test, but not just a test, but it's part of the purgation to bring us deeper into the life of Christ. But the temptation is that we don't want to suffer. We don't want the cross, and so we then go the way of the world. And the devil, of course, he is a seducer, a deceiver. He creates the illusion. He's the liar, the accuser as well. And so, but he's got all kinds of tricks up his sleeve. And if we don't understand the nature of spiritual battle, and that we are, up against the powers and the principalities of this world, then we easily succumb to the ways of the world, even as we try to live in God's grace and try to fulfill the will of God, but we get distracted in ways that can be very destructive, not only to our own salvation, but to the salvation of others as well. And this is, of course, this happens in a big way in the world we live in now because of the technology and all that. We've talked about that many times, and the fact that we've enjoyed a really rather comfortable life, and we're moving away from this very comfortable life into a life that's going to be perhaps characterized by a lot of struggle, apart from the daily attack to the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit. But we've been, in a sense, almost spoiled in the West, certainly in the first world countries, and now we see this this very powerful infiltration of evil, but you don't even know. It's deceptive, seductive, an illusion, being gaslighted, all these things where people are saying, oh, gosh, I'm so confused. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to believe, who to believe. We've talked about this many times, right? And that's where we've just got to really keep our focus in and on Christ, to live in Him, with Him, for Him, through Him, by Him, through Jesus to the Father. But so this book, The Prodigal Church, calls us to not forget that right now we need to re-engage the saints in the life of the church. It's really, trying to rebalance things so that everything isn't so horizontal, that it's just about me in relation to you, but that we don't lose that relationship we have, the transcendental or the vertical, which is our relationship with God. That's got to be nurtured so that we can then properly live the faith in a horizontal way in relation to others, and not become so centered in man, but to be centered in God, right? That build on the foundation of God's life, God at the center. There's those two great commandments, right? Love the Lord your God with your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So it's God first, neighbor, and then self. But it constitutes one commandment, the great commandment, which is the summation of the Ten Commandments. That the first three commandments in reference to God, the other seven in reference to our relationship one to another. So Tony, where will we go? maybe got it. It's time to take a break.
Yeah.
Let's take a break, and then because I don't want to. I ramble so beautifully, don't I? Just go on and on. Let's take a break, because I don't want to lose today is the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, mm-hmm. and I guess it all goes back to the rosary. Going to adoration how this helps us to focus and mm-hmm. and to really come away from the cacophony of the world, the rude noise of the world, and into sanctuary, into sacred space, and to have that communion with God. Or as Jesus said, go into your inner chamber, shut the door, and just be with your Father who knows everything. You needn't say anything. But the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament is our coming into the presence of our Lord. And, of course, the Mass, the Holy Mass, is where we renew that covenant and where we offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship, and we're fed then with the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ so that we can stay on this narrow path, because it is a narrow path, and, allow Jesus to live in us and through us. When we deviate, we know we deviate. That's we had to develop that kind of sensitivity, that when mm-hmm. we know we deviate because we get tired of the what might be monotonous or the mundane, or we're just really in the desert or in the darkness and we succumb to the world, we, having tasted and seen the goodness of God, we know to get back on that path. And so anyway, but we'll take a break. And speaking of spiritual battle that incarnates itself in real battle, we'll talk about the Battle of Lepanto, because it was from this battle 450 years ago now, 450 years ago, that we have this feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary. Previously, it was called Our Lady of Victory, and then it morphed into Our Lady of the Rosary. So we'll take a break. Let me find my... yeah, here we go. See, I have to say this properly, right? All right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTM Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
911, what's the nature of your emergency?
When we're in crisis, where do we turn? We turn to our first responders, the people who run to danger to protect us. These days, our first responders do not often receive the acknowledgement they deserve for their bravery and personal sacrifice. On Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m., St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish celebrates a blue mass recognizing our first responders, including police, fire, and emergency medical personnel. Come and celebrate with us at the Blue Mass Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststandschurch.org.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I am Father Anthony on Winds of Change. We got here the two Tonys. Met another Tony yesterday from the Archdiocese, mm-hmm. and so I had to call him about our finances and all that. And he said, "This is Tony." I said, "No, this is Tony." He says, "No, I'm
so, wait, we're both Tonys.
He's a Tony from Sicily, you know." Yeah. Anyway.
Well, be at a place where, you know, at one time I was working at a place that there was two Tonys.
Uh-huh.
So they had to say Big Tony and Little Tony.
Were you Big Tony or Little Tony?
You're Big Tony. Well, actually, no, I was Little Tony because the Tony was there before me, so he was the Big Tony.
So speaking of that, I have to tell you this, it was kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy that did, let me just say this. I had a meeting. I had an appointment at 12 o'clock.
Right.
So somebody came, it was a priest. So I had a meeting, and it went on much longer than I expected, and sometimes... and it was good. It was really a very, very nice meeting. But then Jasmine, the secretary, came and said, "You've got somebody else waiting for you." So we brought an end to that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to the office, her office, and she said, "Pietro came, and wouldn't you know it, Bob came at the same time." And Pietro brought some wine and stuff, mm-hmm. and I thought, Pietro, was it Kelly? Did Kelly come? You know, because I'm thinking of, see, our principal's name is Bob.
Okay.
And we have a student named Pietro. And so I said, and so I was so confused. I said, why would Pietro bring me wine? You know, little Pietro,
what's going on here?
From school. And so I was really confused. But it was Pietro who did our floor, the marble. And Bob, who is the regale, you know.
Right.
So I was so it was big Pietro. It was a big Pietro, not little Pietro. I said, why would little Pietro bring me wine?
When did he get the wine?
And what's he doing out of school?
Exactly.
So anyway, so yes, remembering the Battle of Lepanto, I'm taking this from the National Catholic Register because I think it's one of the best. It just tells the story so beautifully, I think. But it takes us back to August the 2nd, 1571, at a place called Famagusta. This was on the island of Cyprus. This was the last remaining Christian outpost on the island of Cyprus. Marc Antonio, Bragadin, and Astore Baglioni, these were two Venetian commanders. They had surrendered to the Ottoman Turk commander, Lala Mustafa Pasha. And so this was called the Battle of Famagusta, August the 2nd, 1571, had been a bloodbath, which was very typical of that time, mm-hmm. with a Christian force of fewer than 10,000 utterly overwhelmed by a Muslim force of more than 100,000. And the Christians fought to the death, suffering upward to like 90% casualties, wow. if you can imagine. And so Bragadin and Baglioni had been assured honorable terms of surrender. They surrendered with the promise that they and the survivors would be kept, we would keep not only their dignity, but their lives. And when they went to the Mustafa's tent, they instead were immediately arrested. Baglioni was beheaded on the spot, and Bragadin, the governor general of Famagusta, wasn't so lucky. He would be turned into an example. You got to hear what they did. It's just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So Mustafa himself pulled out a blade and cut off his ear, one of his ears, his right ear. And he then ordered his lieutenants to slice off his left ear and nose. And then Bragadin's plight would only get worse. For nearly 2 weeks, he was stuffed in an open cage and exposed to the intense heat, or the sun, without food and just very little water. He was offered freedom on the fourth day of his captivity if he converted to Islam. He refused. And so what happened next to Bragadin is just horrific. He was hung from the mast of his own ship, scourged over with 100 lashes, and then he was forced to carry a heavy basket full of stones and sand on his shoulders through the streets of Famagusta until he collapsed. He was then brought back to the main square of the city, chained to a column, and this renegade began to slowly flay him alive from the shoulders down. The Venetian commander, Bragadin, endured the martyrdom with courage, heroic courage, continuing to recite the Miserere, have mercy on me, and to invoke the name of Christ until after his arms and torso had been skinned, he cried out, In manus tuas, Domine, commendo spiritum meum, which is, Into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit, and he expired. And it was about 3 in the afternoon on August 17th, 1571. His body was then quartered, and with his flayed skin stuffed with straw and cotton and clothed, and then he was clothed with the garments and insignia of command, his uniform, mm-hmm. and was carried in a procession through the streets of Famagusta and then hung from the mast of a galley, which carried him to Constantinople as a trophy together with the heads of other Christian leaders. That's really something, isn't
yeah.
it? In any case, when the news of this massacre reached Pope Pius V and other Christians several weeks later, there was an outrage, and this was really the final straw. And so there was a commitment to do something about it. There was also prayer. And so the Pope increased his prayers and his fasting, dedicating many hours a day to prayer and 3 days a week to fasting. So Pius V had been Pope for only 1 year, and he came in just after the siege of Malta, where the heroic and extraordinary Knights of Malta had defended not only their island, but much of the Mediterranean and Europe. He had the knights failed. If they had failed at Malta in 1565, all of Europe could have faced a series of episodes like that at Famagusta. Pope Pius V became Pope the next year in 1566. And in any case, he knew, the Pope knew how precarious this moment in history was. And he ordered, you know, we're just as prior, you know, for 500 years up to this point, various popes had ordered crusades to try to defend Christians from Muslims, from their attacks, Muslim attacks, again, dating back 500 years to the late 11th century. But all of them ended in failure, the crusades. So the Ottomans had, of course, reveled in a long run of conquests under Suleiman the Magnificent, and who since the 1520s had wiped out Christians and captured their territory, killing and enslaving many. And the Pope realized this had to stop, and now was the moment, because it was just it was that time in history, right? And so he actually had a remarkable display of diplomacy as much as piety, and he strove to assemble a counterforce to stop the Ottomans, not only of Europe's Christian leaders, not all of them were on board, with some, such as Charles IX of France, spurning the Pope rather than supporting him, to the Pope's, you know, frustration. But the Pope did, however, manage to pull together a force that became known as the Holy League, which included the Spanish Empire, the Papal States, Venice, Genoa, Tuscany, and many others, including the Knights of Malta. And they were led most notably by the great Marcantonio Colonna and Don Juan of Austria. So the two sides were ready for battle, which came at dawn on October 7th, 450 years ago from today, at the entrance of the Gulf of Patras. More than 100,000 men and hundreds of ships squared off in the water, and the supreme Turkish commander, Ali Pasha, stood aboard his flagship, the Sultana, in the center of an alignment of Muslim ships shaped like a massive massive crescent moon, and his Sultana flew a massive banner brought from Mecca with the name of Allah embroidered in gold letters 28,000 times. His opponent, Don Juan, wore around his neck a relic of the true cross given to him by Pope Pius the V. And I believe, it doesn't mention this here, but I believe, because this is after the appearance of Our Lady of Guadalupe in the New World in Mexico, and I believe that they carried her image, not the original image, but a replica of the image that she left in Mexico. On the I read this before, so I think that was the that's the case, but it doesn't mention that in this rendition of the battle. But anyway, that morning the Christian forces all attended Mass on their respective ships, received absolution. The Pope had declared the Franciscans to the papal ships, the Jesuits to the Spanish ships, and the Dominicans and Franciscans to the others. So they had the religious communities on the various ships. And so it was really a major spiritual battle. Now the two sides engaged in a vicious exchange, what literally turned the tide of the Holy League, for the Holy League, because they were totally outnumbered. I forgot the percent, there's no way they could have won this battle. And but what happened was there was a sudden shift in the wind, which was really quite miraculous. And after about five hours of battle, the Turks were defeated. The sea was full of dead men, tables, clothes. The sea was mostly red, bright red with blood. Among those freed were more than 15,000 men who had been held as slaves by the Turks. And so for the first time in a century, the Mediterranean was free. And from that day forward, the Ottoman Empire began its long decline. So, and it really did decline quite quickly. That was the bigger picture between the Christian victories at the Battle of Lepanto in 1571 and the Siege of Malta in 1565. Europe was spared. Because had the Christian defenders lost those battles, Europe would be completely different, you know. And the Vatican, Rome, was in the crosshairs. And so, you know, if they hadn't won those battles, we would probably be today Muslim and certainly not Christians. The whole of Europe would have eventually been decimated, the Christians, the Catholics. And it's interesting because this was also during the time of the Protestant Reformation, so there was the victories were celebrated not only by the Catholics but the Protestants as well. Though the two, Catholics and Protestants, had really been pitted against one another most of the century because of the bitter split caused by Martin Luther and the Reformation. So, but all Christians were united in gratitude for the epic defense of their faith and way of life. As for Pius the Fifth, he certainly credited the Lord and the intercession of the Blessed Mother in the dual roles of Our Lady of Victory and Our Lady of the Rosary. And it's interesting because at the very hour of victory on October 7th, far away, I mean really far away from the high seas, Pius V had this inspiration that something had filled him with a certain sense, would be the Holy Spirit, that the Holy League had had persevered. And so he said, let us go and thank God. And he told, he assembled the cardinals that were there, and because he says at that very moment, our armada has obtained victory. And it was only a couple of weeks later that he actually got word that victory had indeed been secured. He was awakened at night and given the message, and he broke out in tears of joy and invoked the words of Simeon, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. And so 6 months later, he actually died, the Pope did. So this whole ordeal took its toll on the Pope as well as the world, and our world today would look very, very different if not for what happened at Lepanto 450 years ago this October. And so for this reason, October 7th was deemed Our Lady of the Feast of Our Lady of Victory, or the feast, what's right now, the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, the Feast of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. And but it's an interesting story. It raises a question, you know, and I was reading this somewhere too, that they instead of maintaining the feast name Our Lady of Victory, because it's so intertwined with battle, you know, that it became just Our Lady, the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. But as I was, you know, it's really something to think about too, you know, because certainly our battle is a battle, you know, for our soul, right, where we battle within, the spiritual battle is within. But there are times in history, and the whole of the Old Testament and even the history of the church has been, at times there were, certain times necessitate battle. I mean, you know, this is a, nobody wants to go to war, nobody wants battle, but is there justification to defending one's self, one's nation, one's family, one's faith? Well, certainly there is a justification, but it can't be, it has to be in defense of faith and all that faith implies, you know, a righteous living, you know, treating people with dignity, respect, the rights to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, but when we say pursuit of happiness, I always kind of balk at that word because happiness today has become understood as kind of the free reign of the flesh, when really our true joy is and our true freedom is adhering to the commandments of God in order to ensure peace for each other and a true joy that comes in knowing God, loving God, and serving God. But when you think, for instance, today, just what seems to be kind of brewing, and that is the right now Taiwan, China.
Yeah.
I just read this morning that actually there's American troops who've been sent to Taiwan. But what do you do, you know, when a nation has a right to defend itself or to assist in the defense of another nation under the threat of a nation that would basically enslave the people, or, you know, a communism is a systemic atheism, and it's, you know, I know it's complicated. There's all this, you know, you got to follow the money everywhere. But when you see in a nation such as China where the churches are being decimated, Muslims are being held in concentration camps, or organs are being sold for used for whatever, I don't know. You know, this is the stuff you keep reading about over and over, and yet there's a whole sector of the media that seems not to want to reveal what's really happening there. But the injustices there and in other parts of the world as well. In Nigeria, you know, the massacre of Christians in Nigeria. So what do? You just sit back and do nothing? I mean, this really requires a lot of prayer, faith and prayer, you know, and let the Lord lead. But yeah, we're going to take a final break, Nicholas. All right, everybody, don't go away. We'll wrap up. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
911, what's the nature of your emergency?
When we're in crisis, where do we turn? We turn to our first responders, the people who run to danger to protect us. These days, our first responders do not often receive the acknowledgement they deserve for their bravery and personal sacrifice. On Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m., St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish celebrates a blue mass recognizing our first responders, including police, fire, and emergency medical personnel. Come and celebrate with us at the blue mass Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststandschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, and you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we wrap up. We've only got about 6 minutes, but today, wow. Today's the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, and we raise a question about it. All started with the Battle of Lepanto. If that battle hadn't been, if we hadn't been victorious, we'd be living in a different world. But in every generation, I guess, you know, and I don't guess, I mean, every generation has to safeguard and protect its own peaceful coexistence, right? Mm-hmm. Protect proper order, and we're certainly in a disordered world, and even in our own nation, the disorder. I mean, it's just the indoctrinations that are going on that are completely opposed or radically opposed to the gospel message and Christian morality, virtue. It's completely unscientific now. It's just amazing to me that the church was always accused of being unscientific, and you know, you'd often hear people say that, you know, the church, because the church doesn't believe in science. We actually founded the sciences, you know. It's just, the church has many
people
priests.
Forget about that.
We're great scientists. Yeah. But the stuff that's going on now with gender issues and, you know, indoctrinating children and all that, I mean, this is a major battle, spiritual battle that we're undergoing. But, you know, as people say, you know, and I hear this all the time. People say, I'm confused. I don't know what to believe. I don't know where to, you know, it's, or people are frightened or they're full of anxiety, feel rather lonely in the world today. The fact that young people are committing suicide at an unprecedented rate, the fact that we've got so much violence in our streets, and, you know, it's we really got to pick up the rosary and pray the rosary daily. As our lady said in Fatima, she said, you know, pray daily the rosary and pray for conversion, pray for peace. And if you don't, there are consequences. And she told us about the, you know, there would be a greater war, because all this message was given during the First World War. And the children didn't know anything. They didn't know anything about Russia. When she said Russia will spread her errors throughout the world, they thought Russia was a woman. You know, they thought she was talking about a woman. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what all this was going on. But she said, be greater war, and she talked about the annihilation of nations. And, you know, at the time, it seemed, you know, it wouldn't make any sense, right, you know, that nations would be annihilated. But today, you know, we've got the power. We've got the power to annihilate all the nations of the world. I say we, I mean, collectively speaking, nations who have nuclear armaments or biological war now. You know, this is a... release a virus, you know, that can decimate a civilization, a world, and you know, render the control of others over. It just, you see the point. Mm-hmm. All this seems so plausible now, in a big way, and I think this is where we've got to come out of our comfort zone. We've been forced out of our comfort zone. Yeah. And we can't go back into that comfort zone. But where is our comfort zone? It really, where do we go? We have to go into sanctuary. We've got to pray. We've got to cleave to Jesus. We've got to be like St. John and really lean into the heart of Jesus, because the kingdom is it's you know, the I might have mentioned this the other day, but when I hear people say I'm part of the, I'm a global citizen, we were talking about that the other day. Yeah, well, of course we are, but we're part of the world. Doesn't mean that we can't have our nation states, but we are members of the mystical body of Christ. We are committed to fight the good fight, committed to the discipline of the faith, committed to taking care of each other, because we know that in making loving sacrifice, we will inherit the kingdom of God. With the old order is passing away, the world is passing away, but God's kingdom will endure unto eternity. And, you know, Jesus will come. And he said, you know, when he comes, will he find faith? Or hearts that are cold? Hearts are getting colder and colder. At the same time, you know, there are those who are awakening to the faith and realize, well, I better return to God. And the rosary is the chain that binds us to God. It's a good way to start, good place to begin. Yeah. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong. but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time.